Stephen Hill is co-founder and associate director of the Center for Voting and Democracy, a nonprofit organization promoting election reform. In his new book, Fixing Elections, Mr. Hill explains why he believes American democracy is broken and proposes alternatives to the current winner-take-all voting system. This event from the New American Foundation in Washington, D.C. is an hour and 10 minutes.
Welcome. On behalf of the New America Foundation, I would like to welcome you to a very special event. The topic is Fixing Elections with Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill is the co-founder and associate director of the Center for Voting and Democracy, a nonprofit organization promoting election reform. His commentaries and articles have appeared in dozens of national newspapers and magazines, including the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the Wall Street Journal, New York Daily News, and the San Francisco Chronicle, among many others. His previous book, co-authored with Rob Ritchie, is Whose Vote Counts? He was the campaign manager of the historic campaign in 2002 that resulted in the adoption by the city of San Francisco of instant runoff voting, a very important and innovative new electoral method, to elect its local government. And last but not least, he is the author of Fixing Elections, which is the best thing I've ever read on the subject of electoral systems and their consequences for democracy. As I have written on the topic, this should add greater credibility to it. It's better than anything I have written or am likely to write. I recommend Fixing Elections, The Failure of America's Winner-Take-All Politics, to all Americans concerned with fixing our increasingly broken and dysfunctional political system. Before I turn the podium over to Stephen Hill, I would like to acknowledge the presence in the audience today of someone who has devoted much of his career in recent years to promoting electoral reform in American democracy, John Anderson, a former presidential candidate.
Thank you.
And president of the Center for Voting and Democracy. Stephen Hill.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here today at the New America Foundation. I want to thank the New America Foundation for setting this up and bringing you all together and giving me an opportunity to talk to you about the themes of my book, Fixing Elections, The Failure of America's Winner-Take-All Politics. The title of the book, Fixing Elections, is sort of deliberately provocative. It has, as you may have already figured out, kind of a double meaning. There's the idea of fixing elections, the idea of offering some solutions to some of the difficulties I think many people are experiencing with our democracy today. But then it's also the idea that somehow our elections are fixed, that they're rigged. And that's that theme is really, in many ways, what my book explores at length, the various ways that our elections really are fixed and really are rigged, and particularly from the point of view of the voter. I mean, I think both in the book and we at the Center for Voting and Democracy, that we always try to keep that in mind. Is our political system a voter-centered system, or is it a politician-centered system, or is it a money-centered system? All these sorts of things. And so the idea that fixing elections, that somehow our elections are in fact rigged in many ways. And so to give you an example of what I mean by that, you know, redistricting, which we all just went through, right? It's pretty much over in all 50 states. And I think everyone has acknowledged that this time around was about the worst it's ever been. State after state, what we saw basically were incumbent protection plans. That's what just got passed. You know, California, for instance, where I live, I'm from San Francisco. One of the Congress people there, Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez, a Democrat from Southern California, she sort of blurted out what everyone already always knew kind of went on behind the scenes, but no one ever really acknowledged before, that all the Democratic incumbents paid $20,000 apiece to the political consultant who was drawing the district lines in California to basically draw them a safe seat, a seat where they were going to win without spending a dime. And, you know, when she was asked about this, you know, the reporter was somewhat taken aback by this, and she was like, oh, you know, of course. Well, I mean, I usually spend $2 million, $3 million on re-election, so $20,000 is a good deal. And so, again, you know, the idea that it's a good deal for her, but what about the voters? in her district, in all these districts. In California, out of 53 congressional seats, everyone pretty much acknowledges that one seat is up for grabs. All the other ones, all the other 52, are so lopsided to have been drawn either so Democratic or so Republican that no one else has a chance of winning that seat. And so for the voter, it's a done deal. We at the Center for Voting and Democracy, we do this kind of provocative exercise. We predict the results in 435 congressional races over a year before the election even occurs. And we do it, we don't have to know anything about inequities in campaign finance. We don't even have to know who the candidates are for open seats. All we have to look at are the demographics of how the district has been drawn in the redistricting process, whether it's been drawn to be a Democratic district or a Republican district. Generally, after redistricting, you'd expect that out of 435 seats, there'll be about 100 seats up for grabs each time, each decade. And this time around, most people are figuring there's anywhere from about 25 to 35 that are up for grabs. And it gets worse throughout the decade as bad matches between the district and the voters and the incumbents sort of turns a few people out of office. 99% of incumbents win re-election. Three-quarters of races typically are won by landslide margins of 60% to 40% or higher, 70% to 30%. 91% last time were won by a margin of 55% to 45% or higher, which is what we define as a competitive race. So basically, 9% of congressional races last time were what we call competitive. Okay, so from the voter's point of view, there's not a lot to get excited about, and this is true also even if you're on the winning side. You know, you don't have a lot of excitement to go out and get on phone banks and walk door to door for your candidate because you know they're going to win or they're going to lose. It's gotten much worse. And part of the reason why it's gotten much worse, and one of the themes of my book, is how technology is affecting all of this. You know, this has always gone on, of course. But the technology has gotten so much more precise. The computers that are used, the software, the databases of where voters live and how to profile them by their demographic. And so it allows them to draw these districts in a very precise way, in a way that they have not been able to do even to the extent that they can today. The days of, you know, Mylar plastic maps and blueprints and all these things, cut and paste, it's over. It's done on a computer today, and the software is extremely sophisticated. You can sit on that laptop and just, you know, take your cursor and draw a district, and then instantly it'll give you the demographics of that district, and you just fiddle with it. And basically what's happening is that voters are being sliced and diced right out of the political process in this redistricting process. Now, the redistricting process has an even bigger impact than just this, because what this means is that the party leaders can now sit back and say, and they look at the political map just like military generals looking at the military map, and they say, okay, this district over here, we know we've got that one won. We don't have to put any resources there. It's a done deal. This one over here, we know we don't have a chance. We're not going to waste any resources in that one. We're only going to go after these handful of districts in a handful of states where the control of the United States House is going to occur. You know, when you're only separated by six seats, the incentives to really maximize your resources and to just to do it in a way that where you can beat the other side is extremely intense. This last redistricting, for instance, you saw all sorts of federal money going to state legislative races, millions of dollars being spent suddenly for state legislative races just because they could figure out this is the close race. Pennsylvania, there was, you know, they were trying to figure out which party was going to control redistricting, which if you control both houses of the legislature and the governor's seat, you control redistricting in your state. So there was just a couple of seats separating which party, Democrats or Republicans, was going to control the state House of Representatives in Pennsylvania. And you saw Al Gore campaigning for the Democrat in this, in a small, you know, district in Pennsylvania. You saw millions of dollars going into there from both sides because they could figure out because of the winner-take-all system and the districts and how they have these, you know, the demographic data, they can figure out which districts to focus all the money like a lens into just a handful of districts. Now, so they're just going after a handful of districts today. That's the trajectory of our winner-take-all system, which is, you know, a geographic-based two-party system essentially.